As Diane alluded to at the beginning of service, today is December 1st. And for me, I have purposed in my heart this year to make the whole month of December a month of celebration. Instead of just focusing on one day, to take the whole month of December and make it a month of celebration and reflection for me, to find out who Jesus is, who Jesus really is to me, what he did, how does that relate to me, and take the whole month to do it. Try to slow down and forget all the other hoopla. I was telling Diane, I have realized that in me, the day after Thanksgiving creates in me naturally, and I am purposing to get over this, a stress. Before Thanksgiving, I buy gifts and it's happy and it's peaceful, and then for some reason, the day after Thanksgiving, automatically I can feel the stress just rising. And I think it's what's going on around us. I think it's illogical and improper mindsets. Sit down, please. So for me, I want to get my focus back. And so today I am going to be sharing on communion and on Advent. If you've never heard the term Advent before, all Advent means is coming. And when we celebrate an Advent season, we usually start 4 Sundays before Christmas. And it's the season of celebration culminating with the birth of Jesus. One of the things that we can do for Advent, kids, is we can make an Advent wreath. There's a lot of things that we can think about and symbolize when we look at this wreath. And it's not all about what the symbols are, but it's all about what they stand for and to think about what's in this. There is a wreath that is a circle. And the circle symbolizes God and his never-ending love, his never-ending mercy, his never-ending grace, his never-ending joy. It's God himself, no beginning, no end, never-ending. So the wreath, the circle, when we look at that, we can think of God, who it has no beginning, no end, and all those things that are everlasting, everlasting life, all those things. The green of the wreath, kids, stands for life, no death. Okay, pine trees don't die in the wintertime. They stay alive, okay? The green of the wreath, whether it's alive or whether it's artificial, helps us to remember that in God there is newness of life. In God there is everlasting life, okay? The candles, there's 4 of them. We light one today, and then we're going to light another one next week. Next Sunday and the Sunday after that, all the way up till Christmas. The candles help us to remember that Jesus was the light of the world. He came to bring light to the darkness that was here. Okay? So as we light the candles, we remember Jesus is the light of the world. Not only that, but we remember that we have been called to be the light of the world. Take Jesus who is in us and bring that to the world around us. So as we light each candle, look at the lights and remember, Jesus is the light of the world. He came to bring light to the darkness. Now we're going to light one at a time. And as we light them, each week we're going to see that something's happening, okay? Something's happening in those 4 weeks before Christmas. On Christmas Day, the white candle is lit. That's the Christ candle. Okay? It also can mean the anticipation or the waiting for Christ to come. Christ has already come, but you know what, guys? He's coming back. And that's another reason why we celebrate Advent. To be thankful and remember when he came the first time, but to know that he's coming again a second time. Okay? Okay, so that's all the symbolism of the wreath. So when you see this wreath up here this month, remember all those things. God's eternity, God's everlasting love and everlasting mercy and everlasting grace toward us. His newness, his All those things never die. They're everlasting. The light of the world, who was Jesus. We are the light of the world, that something is happening and we're anticipating the birth of Jesus. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Okay, today we're going to light the first candle, and we're going to call it, there's a lot of different ways that you can, when you light each candle, there's a lot of different things that it can stand for. I am going to call this candle the candle of hope. Okay, so Bill's going to light it. The candle of hope. Throughout the Old Testament, God gave his children hope for a coming Messiah. He promised that he would never leave them without a shepherd. He promised that he would reconcile his people to himself. He promised a better covenant. Prophecy after prophecy pointed to a Messiah who was going to be their deliverer. Okay? In Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy that was referred to the coming Messiah was right after the fall. And I thought it was very interesting that God first addressed the serpent and said, there is someone who's coming that's going to bruise your head. He didn't address Adam and Eve first. He didn't address the sin first. He addressed that serpent first. And he said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, from now on, you and the woman will be enemies, and your offspring and her offspring will be enemies. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So way back in the book of Genesis, God began to prophesy, he's coming. I have a plan. Yes, you sinned. Yes, you were disobedient, but I have a plan. You are not going to have to be separated from me. I have a plan to bring you back to be in relationship and fellowship with me. Okay? Then in Isaiah, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies all throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for a Bible to get for children, I would highly recommend this Bible. It's Jesus Storybook Bible. And in little print on the front, it says, every story whispers his name. I have purchased a curriculum that we're going to be starting to use with the kids. And every single, what they've done in this storybook Bible is they have related every single story in the Bible to Jesus. It brings every single story comes back to Jesus. So all the Old Testament stories come back to Jesus. All the New Testament stories come back to Jesus. And that was God's plan from the very beginning. That was God's plan from the very beginning. To bring it back to Jesus. To Jesus to be that Messiah. But hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. God was saying, I'm going to send him. I'm going to send him. And this is who he's going to be. And this is where he's going to be born. And this is how he's going to deliver you. And this is, you know, he laid it all out for the Old Testament people. And the Old Testament people put their hope and their expectation in that coming Messiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7, 14, in the book of Isaiah, it's prophecy upon prophecy about the birth of the Messiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. All the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus' birth were all fulfilled in him when he came. And if you have an opportunity, some Bibles have it. You can look it up in study books. But it's phenomenal to see a chart of Old Testament prophecies and how Jesus fulfilled them. And I would encourage you through this month of celebration, do whatever you need to do to, like Diane said before, focus on why we're celebrating this season. It's not just about giving gifts. Yes, it's about giving gifts, but it's about focusing on why did God send Jesus? Why was Jesus willing to give him? Jesus, you know what? Jesus didn't start as a baby. He didn't start as a baby. He was here at the beginning of time. The worlds were created through him. But he gave, I'm getting ahead of myself. focus on not only the birth, but all that involves through this, through December. Okay? The Old Testament people looked ahead with expectation and hope. Now, we also can and should live a life of expectation and hope. This is the what we're focusing on today, the hope that we have in Jesus. This season is a good time to reflect and celebrate all that God has promised. In his son Jesus, we have hope. We have hope of salvation. Not just going to heaven when we die. Salvation means so much more than that. Salvation means he's got a special plan for you. Salvation means that plan is like nobody else's. Salvation means he created you uniquely and that he has a path for your life and that it's better than you could ever, ever imagine. That's all salvation means, the whole package. In his son, we have hope of peace with God, that God is not angry with us. You know, when you think about Jesus coming to earth as a baby, remember that we have hope that he brought peace with God. He brought deliverance. We have hope for deliverance. We have hope from victory over sin. We have hope for health and healing. We have hope for grace. We have hope for a new and better covenant. Then, you know, the old people had the old covenant, but they looked with hope and expectation to that new and better covenant that was going to come with the Messiah. And for 400, getting back to the candles, the four candles also can represent the 400 years between Malachi and the birth of Jesus, where there was no prophecy. But they continued to keep that hope out there. What is hope? Confident expectation with joy. They expected that God is a God that is faithful and does not lie. We need to hold on to that hope. Let's take this month and continue to cultivate that hope. What are you hoping for? Well, it's fulfilled in Jesus. And then as we celebrate the upcoming Advent, the Christmas season, and share in communion together, we can celebrate a Savior that put down his deity and came as a man. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You know, Advent is focusing on the birth. Communion is remembering his death. And they're all wrapped up together, okay? The plan was from beginning to end. And in his birth, we can also celebrate his death. And we can also celebrate his resurrection. So it's not just about his birth, but let's remember his death and his resurrection too. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, our attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. So we can celebrate a Savior that put down his deity. He was God. He is God. He put that down, and he became as a man. He was willing to become a child, to grow as a child, to learn as a child, to be willing to be taught as a child. You know, he didn't come with it all together. He had to learn. He had to listen. He had to become obedient, just as we do. Okay, we can celebrate a Savior that was willing to die for us so that the promises of God could be fulfilled. We celebrate a Savior that rose again to newness of life so that in him we can do the same. So Advent and communion are connected. The birth and remembering his body, his blood, his death, what he did for us, and remembering his resurrection.